You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy?
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th, hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady, live only on Netflix.
Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.
Talk about the likes of Brandon Benedict, and you could probably talk, I'm disappointed that Benny ended up in Newcastle, or sorry, not him, because we absolutely loved him and we wanted him to stay here forever. And when he came back, he proved what a miss he was in those years he's away. But one player you did mention there, you said he's such a good friend of yours. Just how good was Jeff Swayze?
Yeah, I think he was a player that was sort of misunderstood, I think. Different guy off the ice, and I think he knows that. I think he's a man of principle, and that kind of is what it is. When it came to lacing up the skates, I think physically and skill-wise, and dominance, I don't think you'd be hard-pressed when he was on his game, you'd be hard-pressed to tell me a player that was more dominant in the elite league. I mean, I think over the last couple of years, you've saw a few players of we're good players and we're fast and scored big goals, but I mean he could carry a line, he could carry a whole team, and with his size and physical presence, I mean some of the things he did to score those shootout goals against Nottingham, and to just have the toughness to combine all those things and to bring that on a night in night out basis and still be, I mean you didn't see him getting a lot of fights, but there's a reason for that. I mean, there's not too many guys that wanted to challenge him on the ice. I mean, there was a time when we played against Sheffield, I think Rob Farmer was maybe only like 18, 19. It was that 2009, 2010 year. And he was out there doing Rob Farmer stuff. And I think he dropped the gloves with Tim Cook, and he wanted to drop the gloves with Tim Cook. He started it. And Cookie got the better of him. So their bench was sort of going a little bit nutso at our bench. It was yelling over and yelling whatever, and the coaches yelling over. So Swezer, he's not saying anything. He's keeping all quiet, and the refs sorting out the penalties or whatever. So he jumps over our boards, doesn't say a word to us, scoots over about in front of their bench and goes, all right. He goes, not going to say anything. He goes, you send out whichever player you want. I'll fight him. One-on-one on the next face-off, and we'll call everything even. That'll be it finished with. And not one player on their bench or coach said one word. And he goes, so you guys decide whoever you want. I'll fight them, send them out, and then that'll be it finished. There'll be no more. And he turned around, skated back to our bench, and I've never seen. He didn't make a big deal out of it. If you were at the game, you would have never known. He just stood there and said it, and I was just like, oh, my goodness. And no one said a word. The game just – the ref dropped the puck at the next faceoff. The game continued. It was just never spoken about again. And so it was just like – I couldn't believe it. I mean, he was a big man, and I think even in that Newcastle game, in the quarterfinals, we were up maybe 3 or 4 nothing or 4-1 going into the third period at home, and And you could tell that the Rob Wilson was a coach, and you could tell they had a guy, sort of a tough guy on their team, but they didn't have many tough guys. But that year, and they sort of, you could tell they were going to try and send a message. So this guy lined up for a face-off with Pat Bateman, or on my wing with Bateman. And so then Bateman, he was trying to get Bateman to fight. He was trying to, you know, beat him up, not beat him up, but Bateman was tough. But and they were kind of jarring, so the ref came over, told him to split up, and Suez came over and told Bateman to take the other wing. And Suez just tattooed this guy. He had knuckle prints in his forehead. And that was it. Like, that was it. Like, this, I knew, we knew, right, we were dominating the game, but you knew right there that series was just over. There was no way they were coming back to that. But, you know, a special player and, you know, a guy that probably should have gone a lot further than they did. And, you know, he's a guy we're talking about maybe getting the opportunity. If he got an opportunity to, you know, get a couple of NHL games and did well, that, you know, you can still play in the NHL now.
For those couple of seasons, you were the C on the chest very proudly, the captain of the Belfast Giants. Can you remember how it came about? Was it a player thing? Was it a coaching thing? They called you and said you're going to be captain. Was it player selected? And just how much pride did you take in being the Belfast Giants captain?
Yeah, it was kind of weird that first year. George was out injured, you know, pretty early on, and he was the captain. And so in 2009, 2010, I think he only played a couple games, and then it was going to be a season-ending injury. And so that maybe after a couple games, a couple weeks, they said, okay, you're going to be captain. And then you know, George was able to come back from the injury towards the end of the year. And you know, Steve and Todd, they said, you know, you're going to continue to be the captain for the rest of the year. And they were happy with the way things were going. And that's the sort of the way it continued the rest of that year. And then we went on to lift the playoff championship. But the second year, Doug came in as a new coach, and he said, you know, we're going to vote on this as a team. And, you know, he said that he still envisioned me being captain, but he wanted the players to vote. And I was fine with that. And it was obviously voted, you know, honorably as the captain that year. And, you know, we came close again. We were 1 point out of, one point out of winning and the regular season championship. And I think Cardiff and Sheffield were tied. And then I think Sheffield won by, you know, regulation wins, I think it was. So it was, you know, we were close again, right there, 3 years in a row, being so close to winning the championship. Or sorry, 2 years in a row. It was one of those things where, you know, again, it was a massive honor to be captain and very proud of the moments that I was able to wear the C and hope they represented the players and the fans in, you know, an honorable way.
And then 2011, 2012 comes on. Belfast Giants can't offer you a ski pass, so you take the opportunity to go to Morzine.
Yeah, things were. It was a tough year. I think, you know, there's a lot of movement of players coming in and out, and I think there was a lot of you know, Doug sort of envisioned that team as sort of half of his team and the players that were there from the year before, and then half of the players that he brought in. I think he wanted to put more of his stamp or his. You know, as I say, his stamp on the team and more of his style, which is fine. And there was contracts sort of getting offered around for Europe. And, you know, I was still only 31, I think, at the time and wanted to try Europe. And, you know, obviously it's very tough, as you can see, even by the players now, to get into top leagues in Europe. So I thought, well, you know, France, it was, the you know, money is about the same. It wasn't really a raise or anything. And, you know, there's an opportunity to go there, and you've seen in the past players that do well in those sort of France and Italian leagues have the opportunity to move up. So I thought, well, I'll give it a shot while I still can. You know, we can maybe say that it was a mistake or whatever, but, you know, I had a lot of great memories down there. The hockey probably wasn't what I expected or didn't go the way that I expected. You know, and then Doug and the boys, they won the championship that year, so it worked out well for them. You know, so as far as that goes, it was just a move that came around that I decided to take the opportunity while I did, and that's the way it was.
And you come back to the UK then the following season, and a bit like the last time you came back to the UK, I'm sure a lot of people were hoping that the former captain would have ended up back in Belfast, but it was in the Orange of Sheffield that you ended up.
Yeah, I mean, for guys that were supposedly best friends, Todd and I never seemed to be able to come together on a contract. but when I came back, I think I was back pretty early because in France, the playoffs, you know, start a little bit earlier. And I think I was back in mid-March and started to get contacted from a few teams. And I obviously got an offer from Sheffield. And I went to Todd and said, oh, so I've got an offer from Sheffield or in the Giants, is there something interest here? And, they obviously had some contract offers out to some other British players, which are currently on the team. And, they just couldn't offer me a contract at the time. And, you know, looking back, I probably knowing what I know now, I should have maybe waited it out. But I think if, you know, you've got one job on the table, you can't really hang out and wait out if you don't have another job lined up. If I'd have waited it out and then, if Robert Dowd, for example, had came back to Belfast, I wouldn't have had a job. So Sheffield might have signed, I can't think of another British player, Russ Cowley, for example. You know, they might have signed another British player and, you know, all of a sudden, I'm out of a job or, you know, maybe not taking a pay cut for half my salary. So there is only so many jobs to go around for British players even now. And it's tricky. It's a tricky market to try and figure out, and it's tricky to try and know what the right thing to do is. But at the time, there wasn't a contract available on the table for me from Belfast, and I just had to try and make the best decision for myself and my family at the time.
And obviously, it's not that long. You'd started okay with Sheffield. I think you'd appoint a game, 20-odd games for them, and then obviously, you know, there's a bit of movement goes on within the league. And
The fake trade.
But you can tell the true story. But Scott Champagne goes one way, and Colin Shields, for the third time, comes back to be a Belfast Giant.
Worked out right. Worked out every time. So yep. Figured a third time just as lucky. But it just wasn't really, you know, I had some good times in Sheffield, some good games, and thought I was fitting in. And then other times I just didn't feel like I, you know, wasn't fitting in. It was nothing against Ryan Finnerty or Tony Smith or anything. It was just one of those things where I just didn't feel myself. And, you know, Belfast was in my heart and I knew I wanted to be back here. And, it's, you know, at the time, I'm not sure what the contracts now are, but at the time there's a 2-week clause in every contract for the owners and for the players to get out of. So I exercised my 2-week clause and they weren't happy about it. At the time also, I hadn't spoken to Belfast. I went to them and I said, I'm handing in my 2 weeks notice. I'm not happy here. And, they weren't happy about it. Of course, and so it started that clock ticking, and I think obviously the words got back to Todd, and I think maybe they had a couple of injuries, and they were looking to sign me, and I think to sort of cover up any I think just to kind of mask over what was happening, I think they decided to make it look like a bit of a trade, but there was no trade. I mean, I handed in my 2 weeks to Sheffield, and 2 weeks later, signed with Belfast.
And as Toddle likes to remind you there, when 10 years came around, that began the love affair with Belfast and vice versa, and what went on to be an absolutely, like, an amazing career with the Belfast Giants.
Yeah, I mean, it was a little tough that first year, because coming back, I mean, the Giants were, in the hunt against that year Nottingham had their big Grand Slam year, and the Giants were right there till the end, and we chased them right to the end. We played against them in the the playoff final and lost in overtime, and then almost right to the wire in the regular season too. So, but it was a tough year. I was coming in halfway through, and they always said their line set and things like that, so I was just looking to sort of try and fit in and trying to find my game a little bit, after being a little bit out of sorts that year. But with the next year being such an amazing year, with Paul Edie coming in and Suez coming back, and things just clicking right from the start, I think that was sort of your dream year. If you look at any season where you've just been dominant right from the start till the finish, stayed healthy pretty much the whole year, our team, and a team that if any team is going to win the full Grand Slam and deserved a Giants team, I would say that was probably the team. Of course, last year we were very close, in the playoff final, but that year to be up 4-1 after the first leg of the Challenge Cup, and then to lose in overtime in the final, I mean, I think that's about as close as you can get. Last year, of course, was close too, but But that was one of the most dominant teams I've ever been a part of as well.
Yeah, we were pretty that season with Paul Leddy, and we spoke who we were talking to. Oh, it was Adam Keefe himself last night. Talks about that, and you know, you can say Paul Leddy got lucky or Paul Leddy was a genius, but he was able to sort of almost fix his lines in September and just roll those lines. We one of our most fortunate seasons with injuries, but like we were also dominant. We had some fabulous players. I think the league was more or less done by Christmas.
Yeah, I mean, I've got utmost respect for Paul, and I thought he did a great job that year. I think, you know, he didn't say anything when he didn't have to, and when he had to say something, you know, he said, he didn't mix his words. He, you know, he said things that were important. I think he, you know, he stepped back at the right time. He let the boys be boys. He let us have a good time. He pulled back the reins. He kept his practices short. He made his practice hard, intense. The lines were working, so why would you mix them up? Or, you know, why would you... You know, he knew we had good players. He put good players in good situations. He played his best players, you know, at times when they deserved to be out there, he would play them. And he knew that eventually if we were down 3-1 the game, and Chris Higgins maybe wasn't at his best game, he wouldn't bench Chris Higgins. He knew that Chris Higgins was a good player and he was going to get him goals. So that's why I think when we were down 3-1, 4-1 in the games that year, there was no panic. There was no time to fold the tent. He would just go with his horses and we got the job done. And I think that was their attitude that team the whole year. We were up 2-1. We're going to be up 4-5-1. We're down 2 or 3-1. We're going to get this back. We're going to win 5-4. And, you know, as you said, everyone's and stayed pretty healthy. And, you know, for an older team, you know, guys probably on the other side of 30, you know, we had a very close team and guys would hang out a lot and we had a lot of good Saturday and Sunday nights together and on the road everyone would sort of hang out together and sort of go out and have a good time, and I think that's a sign of a good team, especially at this level.
One of my, this is hard to call it a disappointment when you look at the success we have had over the last 15 years at Belfast Giants, but playoffs, you know, you've talked about it yourself about the format here. You know, I think we went to playoff final maybe 3 years in a row there, came up and last year as well. If you want to say in the last 10 years we've been to 5 finals and we've only converted once, is that the format? Is that a little bit of puck luck on the day, a bad call here or there? I know that we've got a nasty call in overtime, like I think too many men call one of the years, and you know,
yeah, that was the 2013 year, Doug's year there, where we lost. Yeah, too many men call and then they scored. But I think that year we had such a – I'm not saying that because we won early. I think that we still played hard. And Paul, you know, he was pretty adamant in the fact that we were going to play right till the end of the season. And I think we only lost – after we won, I think we only lost one game after that. And, I was older. But, you know, some of the other guys were a little bit younger. And we were still having a good time. And we were still winning. It's just because we just – I'm not saying he didn't care. But when you're relaxed and you just don't – you're like – screw it, we're going to win this game. Like, we can beat these guys. We're the best team in the league for a reason. And but I think in that playoff final, Sheffield had a very good team that year and some very good players, especially towards the end of the year. And I think did we get up 2-0 in that game, I think?
I think Frank Doyle maybe in nets for them. Had the game of his life that day.
Yeah, I think we got up 2-0. And then in the second period, I remember like the last 5 minutes, they were just all over us and we literally couldn't get the puck out of our zone and we just sort of ran out of gas. It was, there's not many games where you think that, holy shit, like we were absolutely getting crushed here because we're running out of gas. But that was one of the second period in that game. It just seemed like we really ran out of gas. And then in the overtime, I think they scored on the first or second shift. You could really tell that we were just sort of out of gas. And fair play to them. You know, we talked about it in a short 1 or 3, 2-3 game playoff sort of format. Any team can win. And they had the better team on that day and they outplayed us.
Is it probably around that time that, was that around the time Todd left then to go to Cardiff? When was that?
Yeah, so that summer, but mid-summer, he obviously worked out the deal. So he'd have worked out that deal and for him to go to Cardiff, and then Steve Thornton came back that year and sort of the changes all started happening a little bit more, I think. And, you know, they obviously trusted him in charge for about a year and a half going back, and Steve came back and a lot of things changed. And Todd saw an opportunity where he felt that he could go into a market like Cardiff change things around, especially around then. They had the new rink coming in, and fair play to him for doing that, taking that chance, passing up on, you know, it's a good thing here and success he's had here to go there, which is quite a big risk.
And that season for Steve Thornton coming in, he probably wasn't expecting to come back to Belfast as the head coach. I think he was thinking he was going to be coming in as a general manager, and he had to pick up the reins. And I think we're a bit unfortunate that season as well, with a few injuries and maybe a couple of pickups that just maybe didn't work out. You know, Westgarth came in as well, and maybe wasn't exactly the hit that he was expected to be.
Yeah, I mean, I think if you ask some of the guys that had been here, you know, for Stephen Murphy and Garth and some of the guys that have been here for a while, what, you know, they're all good seasons, but that was probably one of our worst years, I think. And I think it was just tough coming off such success the year before. I'm sure that at some points this year, the guys probably felt that this year with this year's team after, you know, the success we had last year. Because there's only one ways to go. I mean, especially what do we give up, like 6 or 7 games we lost that year, the year before in 2013-14, to come back the next year. I mean, anything short of that is going to be a disappointment. So, you know, big shoes for Steve to come in there. And as you say, you know, you're only trying your best to do the same, to replace the players that you have with signings. And, you know, Stephen Murphy, who's, you know, key part of our team the year before, gets injured early on. And anytime you're a franchise goaltender gets injured, it's always going to be tough to pick up the pieces from that. And that was probably that was a disappointing year for us. I mean, we made it to the, you know, the playoffs, but still, there was just the only place was down after that year, I think.
And then the following year, Steve Thornton's had enough, his hurdle fall out, and he brings in Derek Walser for a couple of seasons. What was it like to play with Wally?
I mean, one of the most talked about amazing dominant players. I mean, the first year, even the second year he was playing here, I've never seen a defenseman like that in the league. I mean, I think Ben Story was a defenseman that played in Newcastle. It was one of the most dominant defensemen I've seen in this league. And going back, you know, guys like, you know, Fournier that plays in Cardiff, I think, is a similar player. I mean, just players that anytime they're on the ice can a 1 minute be behind the other team's net, next thing will be the first guy back in their own zone, just a fluid skater. And probably jumped into the coaching side maybe a little bit early, but under a lot of pressure, maybe didn't know as much about the league as he, you know, had thought. I think, you know, struggled a little bit the first year, and you could see that. You could see that he was stressed out a lot. But the second year, I thought we were unlucky. I thought we had a really good team the second year and a really good top couple lines, and that Rudy, Murphy, and Riley line. And then we end up having myself, Dez, and Savvy going. And I thought we were really unlucky to not, you know, come out with something that year, because I thought we had a really good second half of the year. And we, you know, we were really pushing right to the end.
Then, what a shot Derek Walser had, by the way.
He's just a heavy shot.
Yeah. And then we go on, you know, you go through the Robert Fitzpatrick, as he called it, the boot room, where he sort of groomed is the wrong term, but put Adam Keith into a position along with Derek Walser there with an idol of future, and with Kiefer being, you know, that the guy that he had been on the ice, the guy that would block shots with his head. It made a nice transition for him to step off the ice and still have a job with the club and take over the coaching reign.
Yeah, I'm sure it was a tough transition for him. I'm sure, like it is for most players, to make that transition from player to coach when you're friends with a lot of the players and teammates with them for many years. But it was probably good for him to learn from Wally. Wally maybe kind of similar to other great players we've seen, maybe doesn't have to put their message across in the right way, but you can see that they really know the game and very smart player, you know, on the ice and sees things in the game that other players just wouldn't see. So probably learned a lot of things there that maybe he still uses now. So that was a good learning experience for him that year. And obviously having guys like Jim Vandermeer, you know, around as well, and Brandon Bandic, guys behind the scenes, which really helped him those first couple of years.
That gave Adam Keefe the opportunity to step into a bit of a coaching role with Team GB. And obviously that year, the tournament was held in Belfast, and we go and get the gold medal. I say we, like I was on the team. You know, GB go and get the gold medal on a fantastic weekend in Belfast.
Yeah, that was something that was a bit unexpected. I think when you look back at my career, you kind of almost forget about that. It was a bit of a magical run there, because the 2 years prior, we'd lost out by pretty much a goal to get promotion to the Pool A, and to the Group Division 1A. And I think we'd came so close, and we felt we deserved it. And then that year, everything just decided to come together and host the tournament in Belfast. We just weren't going to be denied. And a lot of magical things happened there, and to have your family and friends so close, that was a great experience.
It was, I remember being there at the gold medal game, and the players getting called out. It'll be something that you will probably have a bit of a giggle about in years to come, but like Stephen Murphy, the roof nearly comes off, Colin Shades, Mark Garside, Craig Peacock, I was standing with one of the guys from the IIHF, and when Craig Peacock was getting booed, and he's like, what's going on there? And I give him the very quick story, but he was having a bit of a laugh. But obviously then we'll go on to the next year in Belfast, and success follows, and then GB in the summer again.
Yeah, I mean, that year for us, Kiefer's sort of first year, full year coaching, and to win the Challenge Cup that year with a lot of special players and a lot of talented players. I think we had a really talented team that year. I don't think we had enough depth. I don't think we had enough players to win the league. I don't think we deserved to win the league that year. I think we ended up falling back, obviously, with the injuries to Murphy and Garside and Dustin Johnner and some other players. I don't think we had the depth to win the league, but sort of in a one game shot against Cardiff or against any team that year, I think we could have won. And we did have enough players that stepped up. You saw guys in that game like Ferland and Kurtz and Saviano. And you look at the other players we had that year, obviously with Murph and Riles and Rudy, and then we had, Sylvester, myself and Connolly. So, I mean, and Spiro and the other boys back on D, and Wisp played a great game that year. That game was thoroughly deserving to win. So, I mean, it was sort of fitting for that year. I think we deserved something. But I don't think we deserved the league, of course. And it was, that was a special moment. And then to go over to Budapest and to win there, that was one of those things we're talking about in Belfast, everything just going right. That was one of the weeks where every power play we got, we scored. Every save that Ben Bounds could make, he made. And every time the Bounds would go our way and some other new guys that came into the team stepped up really well, Perlini and, Farmer with that big goal late as well to tie up that game to send us to Pool A.
Before we come on to the sort of the end chapter, if you want to call it that, let's have a look back at, the testimonial season, or not even the testimonial season, but the testimonial game, being awarded that by the club, all the hard work that you put into to make the event a success, having all the players back for the dinner. That must have been, there's not a lot of players within hockey, full stop, get a testimonial, but to play 10 years for the club, to have the success you had, to be awarded the testimonial, and for it to be such a success, must have been a cliche dream come true and all, but you know what I'm talking about. It must have been a really, really nice occasion.
Yeah, it is tough. I mean, it's an honor to have a testimonial, and to see all the fans come out and support. And right from the start, the fan support was just amazing, and so thankful for the club, of course. It's not your right to have a testimonial just because you play for a team. It's got to be granted, and the other guys that have had them prior and the guys that have had them since then, and you can see the way the fans have supported them as well, and we're all very gracious for that. And I was very, very lucky with the sponsorship we had and the support with the fans that were able to bring back some players, which are players that I really thought were influential in my career, not only my Giants career, but a guy like Martin Correa, who I played with at Maine, and to be able to share the event with all those guys and just try and make it a bit of a celebration rather than just not just about me, but to bring back those other players and make it something else. It was just there's a lot of stress and work goes into it, but it was a great couple of days. I mean, the way it was going that year too, it was sort of, we're having a little bit of an up and down start, and I think the week before we lost on the Wednesday to somebody. You'll have to check your stats on this, but we lost on the Wednesday or Thursday to somebody, and we were having the draft. I don't know if Kiefer will be mad at me for telling the story, but the draft was on the Monday, and it was supposed to be Kiefer and Toy that were doing the draft. And we had no game on the Saturday, but then we were playing someone on the Sunday, Manchester on the Sunday. And Kiefer came up to me on the Friday or something. He said, hey, not to disappoint you. He goes, but if we lose on the Sunday, I'm not going to be in the mood to be doing this draft. He goes, I don't want to pretend like I'm having a good time if I'm upset about the team, you know? So I said, no problem, no problem. I said, don't worry. I said, we're not going to lose that game on Sunday. And then we end up coming out. It was just one of those ones where, like, Rob Sandrock was in, Suez, like, all these good boys were in, like, Mike Hoffman. I was like, there's no way we're losing this game. And we end up absolutely crushing them. I think we're up 5-1 or something in the first period. I think I had a 4-point night. It was like, I think that was the Savvy, I don't know, 4 goals or something that game. It might have been something crazy like that. And we just absolutely crushed them. And then we went on to, you know, just have a great couple of nights, like on that Sunday night, to have all the boys back and everyone went out and had a good time. And then to have the dinner and the draft on a Monday and to have Todd host, I think was really special. I mean, he, as I said, he emceed our wedding and he's so good on the mic. And he's just a guy that, you know, people love him, but then also people, you know, love to hate him too. So when he's on the mic, he just does such a good job. And there was great crack and banter the whole night. And, you know, everyone that came out and supported the testimony, I really appreciate it.
Let's talk about, very briefly, as I say, I want to go on to the final season. Let's talk about the numbers. I know that you've always said the numbers aren't important, so, and you've always been a team guy. But now that you're finished and you look back, all-time leading appearances for the Belfast Giants, scored more goals than anybody else, more assists. Obviously, then the points come with that. Most points, you know, loads of power play goals, most shorthanded goals, you know, I could go on. There's records galore. You know, you went through a period there where it was like every other week was a record was broken. Now that you've finished the playing part of your career, you must look back at those numbers with a bit of pride.
Yeah, I know. I think before and even now, I'll always downplay the points part of things. I think that I was very fortunate to play with so many great players and be put in the opportunities to score points. But, you know, it is something that looking back, even it's only been almost a year since I retired now. And, you know, I'm very honored and to have the opportunity and to play with those players and those memories. And you think back of, as I say, we think back of those nights, you know, where you've had a big game or the team's had a big win. And you think back to the moments. I mean, I think back to that playoff final in 2010. I think I had an assist in the first game. It's funny how you remember all your points. I had an assist in the first game, but then didn't score in the final or score in the shootout. So, and that's one of my biggest memories in hockey. So sometimes it's not even the times where you score. It's the times where your teammates score and the celebrations and the good times and memories. But of course, I'm very proud of all the points and the records. And, you know, it's one thing you just think of. It's funny to think of all the years of the opportunities you missed, I guess, sometimes. And you think of, oh, if I had scored that or if I'd done that. I guess it's like when I'm playing golf now, you're like, oh, if I just made that putt on 16, I would have shot, you know, whatever, whatever. But so many good memories. And I'm just, as I say, I'm very, very thankful for the opportunity and very fond of, you know, all the memories.
We go into the 2018-19 season, and it was a season, I guess, that you look back on in different ways. You know, the retirement announcement came towards the end of the season, but, you know, that nasty injury you took, it could have been life-changing. Actually, to say you were lucky isn't true because it was a very serious injury, but, you know, it could have been a whole lot worse as well. That really stunted what could have been an absolutely fabulous, because you were coming off 30 goal seasons, you know, back to back 30 goal seasons, and you must have been feeling good. You were still skating well, but then that really bad injury sort of really curtailed that season.
Yeah, I mean, as you said, a couple of good years. I felt like maybe after a little bit of a blimp there the year before. I mean, it's still a decent points Wally's first year, but felt like I really got my game back to where it was, and I was skating well, and physically I was feeling good. And you know, the team changed a lot coming into last year. Still, the base of the core was there, but a lot of new players coming in. And my role had changed a little bit. You know, at the start of the year, I wasn't on the power play and maybe sort of moved on to like a third line role, which was fine. I was fine with that role and willing to accept it. But, you know, as you say, picking up that eye injury was one of those ones where, you know, at the time when it happens, as soon as that stick comes up, you just know it's like a feeling you've never had before. And that's a scary point when it's so sore. And the first thing I thought of when I was on the ice is I need to get up and get off the ice. You know, I didn't want to lie there if, you know, if it was ruptured or whatever. And you hear so many stories about, well, not so many stories. It's kind of a rare thing to happen, but stories are where people have had their eyes ruptured or things like that. And I just knew I had to get off the ice. And it was a scary couple of days and a really tough few months for me, not knowing whether I was going to be able to come back or play, and just having the vision restricted for so long. And you know, you're taking such a whack there, and for a sport which is so fast, so reliant on speed and reactions, to not knowing if you're ever going to have your full vision back. You know, not so much your full vision, but you know, your full peripheral vision, and feel as confident on the ice as you did before. I mean, if you're second guessing movements or plays on the ice, I mean, you're toast. There's no way you can survive. So there was moments at that time over that 2 or 3 month period where I wasn't sure if I was going to be able to come back and play or not. And I think during that time when I was off, I think that kind of gave me a little insight to what it would be to be out of the game. And I think that probably changed my mind even coming back. I knew I wanted to come back and play if I was physically able, which I did, and I was glad I did. I don't think I would have been happy, you know, win or lose the league last year. I don't think if I hadn't came back, I don't think I would have been content with my retirement. So I was glad I came back and was able to help the team, you know, maybe not so much on the scoreboard, but hopefully like in the locker room and on the ice, and some games that I was able to get points or contribute in one way or the other. I was glad I came back. And of course, winning the league and the Challenge Cup, and then, you know, going right to the playoff final, it was definitely a great year to finish up the career.
Can you remember the slap shot in the playoff final that beats Ben Bynes but doesn't beat the post?
It's funny you say that, because until you mentioned that, I actually hadn't really thought about that play or the game that much, so I kind of forgot about it. I think it was in the second period, right? And then I was coming down the bench side, yeah, and I remember the puck was, there was a turnover in the neutral zone, and I'm just trying to replay it now, and I think Chris Higgins, when he slipped it over, and I remember the ice was still pretty fresh, or no, it was towards the end of the period. So I remember, you know, picking up the puck, and Ben was sort of a little bit off his angle, and I was thinking, I didn't think I had enough gas to get around the defenseman, so I decided to tee one up, as I have many times before, and the puck was a little bit, it wasn't quite flat. And I just remember I got a good piece of it, and in my head I was like, "Shit, this is gonna beat." And then I just remember hear that noise of hitting the post flush, and you know, as you said, for a game which we were dominant for most of it, that could have possibly changed it. But there were so many other opportunities for guys to score and for things to happen in that game. It's you know, it's one shot. It's not if it was an overtime or something, then it might be a little different.
We talked to Adam Keefe when we were doing his one-on-one about the Continental Cup final last year against Arlan in Belfast, and I think you just came back, because I think you probably had... Did you have an assist on our first goal with, I think, Higgy scores it, maybe?
I came back. It was my first... Or maybe that was my second weekend back. At the first games... Or was it? I either came back that weekend, or I came back against Sheffield the weekend before. But I remember I came back against Sheffield for two games, and we won both. And then I remember scoring in one of the early games, and then against Arlan, well, I believe actually I had the assist to Dustin Johnner's goal. So if you...
I couldn't remember which one. I remember commentating on it. And
well, in case you... Yeah, someone fired it over to me by the penalty box. See, you remember... I say I don't care about points, but then you remember all the points. But yeah. Someone fired it over to me by the penalty box off a change, maybe our turnover. And then I zinged it over to Furland, maybe. And then he sort of tipped it over, or one touched it back over to Johnner, and then Johnner made that great shot. So, sorry, was that what you were going to say? You're talking about me.
but in terms of atmosphere, like that day was, even though the barn wasn't completely full, it was something special to be a part of, surely.
Yeah, that's one of the times. I mean, you do notice a big difference when the crowd's buzzing, and obviously the Giants have a great following, and it's always great to have a packed out rink, and but you really do notice when there's a different vibe in the rink, and that was one of the days where you get those games a lot against Sheffield and Cardiff lately, because, you know, Cardiff's always been in the hunt. But you know, that day you could really tell there was a different vibe in the rink, and everyone was excited, and yeah, that would have been a sweet one to pull that one off.
before we go on to talk about the league championship win last season, I'm going to go forward and then I'll rewind. The world championships at the end of the season, a little bit bittersweet. Quite hard to talk about, I'm sure, at times, but you know, you finally get to that top group. You've drawn Canada, you've drawn Team USA, you go there, you end up playing your 1,000th pro game while you're away, but there's still the taint of maybe not getting that Canada game.
Yeah, I mean, I think going away, you know, it was a tough year for me, and I had said to Pete Russell before the tournament, you know, before the team was announced, you know, I'd like to, you know, I want to be a part of the team, I want to make the team, and I still think I can contribute. And he said, no, you know, I want you on the team. And we had that conversation when Glasgow was playing in Belfast, and I said, okay, that's not a problem. I want to be on the team. I'll do whatever it takes. And so I made the team and picked up a bit of a concussion in one of the exhibition games in Nottingham. And it sort of was a little bit dazed for a couple of days, and they were unsure whether I was going to be able to play or not. But I went away with the team and played an exhibition game over in Slovakia. And, you know, we had a couple of extra guys on the team, a couple of healthy scratches, and there was no conversation or anything about if I was ever going to be a healthy scratch, if I was going to be, you know, I was on the power play. I was on the fourth line with Liam Kirk and maybe Matthew Myers or whoever it was. But I was on the power play, on the top power play, and was still, you know, playing, you know, special team minutes. So there was no conversation about whether I was going to be a healthy scratch ever in the tournament or anything like that. And we played against Germany in the first game. And, you know, it was a close game, 1-1, 2-1, Germany. And then, you know, took him pretty close to the end. I think it was a big surprise for people that we came out with such a good start. And then, you know, you're playing against Dreisaitl there. And, you know, he scores that goal to make it 3-1. And but I thought we did a good show in the first game and felt that I played fine and, you know, wasn't hindering our team or anything there. And, you know, then to be told that I was going to be a healthy scratch for the Team Canada game for... was probably one of the biggest, you know, most devastating pieces of news I've ever been told, you know, my whole hockey career out of nowhere to be told that I was going to be a healthy scratch for a game I've been waiting 20 years to be a part of was something I'll never forget and never forgive. I mean, it's just unexplainable to, you know, everybody wanted to be a part of that game and whether I was the worst player on the ice against Germany. I think that for 20 years, you know, of contributions to the program, I deserve to be in that game. And no one's owed anything in this game, and let's, you know, get that straight right away. But I think if there was a time where someone was owed something, you know, that was a game that I should have been a part of. And whether I played one shift, whether I played no shifts, I deserve to suit up in that game. And I'll tell anybody that and I'll stand by that. But that was possibly one of the most disappointing and devastating things I've ever had to deal with in my career. And it's a shame that it, you know, to go into my last tournament for Team Great Britain and to be dealing with that is something that I don't think that I deserved. And I think I've always been, you know, a pretty honest guy. And, you know, and if that was a conversation that should have been had, then it should have been had long before that game. And you know, but looking back on it now, I wouldn't have changed the way that I reacted and the way that I handled things. I thought I was still a good teammate to my teammates after, you know, and try to support them as much as I could and do the right things while I was still practicing or you know, playing in the other games. And I was very fortunate to be able to play against USA and Finland and some of the other games and be a part of that great France game last. But it, you know, as you said, it was enjoyable to share that with the boys and to give them the opportunity to be able to compete again and play or the top division. You know, it was supposed to be this year, but it'll be next year, and to be a part of that team, which will be, you know, make history was something special. But again, to have that hanging over it was something that I probably wasn't prepared to deal with at the time. But I feel like the way I handled it, I handled the way I did, and the people that know me. And the way I handled it, that's, you know, that I felt at the time that was the best way to do it.
Did it taint it at all, you know, the other games, like the final pro game of your career against France, needing to win to stay in the top group? You just come up with a win with that amazing goal at the end. I think it's Ben Davies from John O'Phillips on the on the 3-on-3, do you know, the excitement, are you able to really get into that excitement, or was the sort of the whole experience a little bit tainted from that?
No, I mean, the experience I think was tainted, but at that moment, I think I enjoyed that moment and that couple of days with the boys. Like, you know, there's players on that team that I've known for 25 plus years. And that's what that moment was about. It wasn't about anyone else. It wasn't about, you know, a decision that was made. It was about the players. It wasn't about anybody else. It was the players that got the team to where they've been to the last, you know, 10 years, 15 years. And those players on the team are the ones that deserve that. And that's the players that shared that moment. So, you know, that we had a good time and very fortunate to play with guys like Jonathan Phillips, Dave Phillips, Ben O'Connor, you know, those guys that run the team for a long time, Matthew Myers. And, those guys know that. And those guys are the guys that put in the work and the sweat and the tears over the last 15, 20 years to get the program to where it was. And, those are the guys that we shared that moment with.
Let's go back to Belfast then. We've came up with the defeat against Ireland. We've came up just short in the in the Continental Cup final. We've gone on and won the Challenge Cup final again, repeated again. And we've a few games left in the league. It looks like it's going to be Cardiff, but we can only do what we can do. We've won our games. We're at the Crown Plaza, Player of the Year awards, and the news comes through that Ben Lake has scored a goal. Not for us, he hadn't signed for us at that stage. Scored a goal for the Coventry Blaze that beats the Cardiff Devil and gives us the title. Just what were those celebrations like to be part of?
Yeah, I mean, I think going into that weekend, I mean, we knew if we won our games that anything could happen, but I think you'd have to check your stats here. I've said that a few times, mm-hmm. but I think Cardiff's last three games were against Dundee, Milton Keynes, and Coventry, mm-hmm. I think. And then, you know, you just never would have thought that they would have lost two out of those three games. I think did they lose to Dundee and Coventry or something? Am I way off on that?
They'll definitely lost to Coventry. But...
Yeah, in their last three games, they lost two games, I think, and the other one was to Dundee or Milton Keynes or something. It was something crazy that you just never would have thought would have happened. Maybe it was the weekend before they lost to Dundee, say their last three games, but beside the point. But I just, yeah, it was one of those things where you just thought, well, there's no way Coventry's, you know, in eighth place. They got nothing to play for. They locked up their playoff position the night before. And you've seen that in this league before. I mean, if you've been around this league for a long time, you know when teams are out of it and they just pack it in. And I didn't really have much hope. I'm not taking away from Coventry. I just didn't think that they would be able to pull it off. And they caught us all by surprise. And they sure did. And you know, to win the league, third league title, and as I said, never once on the ice. You know, a special couple of days and, you know, a great way to finish off to the regular season that year.
Let's tie this all up now. We asked Kiefer to do this as well and some of the other guys that we're going to hopefully talk to about their all-time Belfast team. You'll probably have yourself in it, obviously, but Netminder's going to pick itself, I would have thought.
Andrew Dixon is the funniest netminder. Most broken. No, Stephen Murphy, of course. Stephen Murphy.
Got to pick family. Got to stick with family. But yeah, Stephen Murphy's been sensational for the club since he moved here. Yeah. And a nice D partnership that you've had. You've been blessed with some unbelievable D men behind you.
Oh, this is gonna be a tough one. This is gonna be a tough one. Well, I'm gonna have to go with Rob Sandrock. Mm-hmm. Of course, was only fortunate enough to play with him for a couple of years. Actually, two and a half years. But just one of the driest sense of humor you'll ever meet. Grumpy guy, but a great guy, and you know, a good friend of mine who still try and keep in touch with.
I'll jump across you there on Sandy, because I was talking to Sandy not so long ago. We were talking about hazing. Did you have any incidents whenever you were back coming through the ranks? He was telling me about whenever he was coming through juniors in the pro teams, that he had turned up one day and he was in a lovely suit and they threw him the swimming pool or something. I can't remember the exact way of it, he says, but it was just brutal back then. The older pros were just brutal to the juniors.
Yeah, I don't think you can really talk about the stuff that gone on back then, but I guess it shaped you to what you are today. But you know, though I'd never had anything too bad, nothing that was ever over the line. You obviously hear stories, but nothing that was ever too much. But, you know, just more good times like when you were younger.
Then on the other side, to Robbie Sandrock.
Oh, that's a tough one. I should have been thinking about that while you're talking. I'm trying to think. I don't know if I can pick a few, can I? That's going to be a tough one. I'm going to have to sell out here and go with Todd Kelman. I thought back a young Todd Kelman was just a smooth skating young defenseman. The guy, good shot back there.
Absolutely.
But there's so many.
Deadly poke check. Probably the one thing from my memory of watching Todd play was just his fantastic timing with the poke check for forwards coming on to him. But then we move up front. We've got two wingers and a centre to put in there.
Cool. This is going to be a tough one. We won't go on positions. We'll just have to pick two or four. Or we go with the full. Am I on this forward lineup?
You're picking it.
Oh, well, I won't be on it for now.
I think you'd have to pick yourself. You've got like 6 million points.
We can pull Murph and then we'll pick the other one. No, I'm kidding. But the, I guess if you're going on players that I played with, you're going to have to go with Jeffrey Suez. I thought him and I just seemed to have good chemistry. We played together pretty much the 2 years he was here. We pretty much played together the full time. And the other one if you're leaving me on there, I'm going to have to go with my good friend, my good little friend, Steve Sabiano. I think if him and Suez are both left-handers, but I played with a couple of lefties before, Benny and Suez, and then Pat Bateman and Suez. I guess I could play center if I had to. But yeah, Savvy's work ethic and it's just a skill, and he just never gives up on pucks. And you could probably find out. I bet he in those 2 years that he played here, I bet he had 3 years he played here or two.
I don't know.
Two? I think just 2 years. Was it two? I'm losing my marbles. I think just two, or whatever it was. But anyways, for those couple of years that he played here, when we played together, I think on all the goals I scored there, he would be right up there on the assist for. For the goals I scored, you have to check your stats on that again.
Buzzword tonight. Well, listen, as we come to a very final close, this half hour has turned into nearly 2 hours. You know, anything you want to close out with here? Want to talk about your mum, dad, anybody that's referenced your career over? Or do we just want to call it a day?
No, I mean, there's just so many people. It's the great thing about hockey is, you know, you're just going to have your ups and downs and your positives and negatives, but the opportunity to meet so many good people and share so many memories, whether it's players, fans, coaches, equipment managers. You didn't even touch on guys like Taff and all the other volunteers and everyone involved with the game. And going back, you know, for me, over 30 years of hockey, and it's a lot of people. And going back to your Canada days, where you'd go stay with the Billet family, and those people, I think, are the people that go unthanked. And of course, the parents of those that are closest to you and your wife and family. But there's so many people involved with making things work. And, just really thankful for all those people you get to meet and all those memories and make for all the fun stories that I can't tell on podcasts like this.
Colin, it just remains for me to say thank you for going one-on-one with us.
Thanks, David. Appreciate it.
Podcast Network.